And good morning. It's 7:08 on your, what is it, a Wednesday morning, February 5th. Got to keep track of this stuff. Melissa Caprillion is here. Now, I wrote this down. You're the alder for the 5th District. That's the city of Racine alder for the 5th District. And you're the county board supervisor for District Number 4.
You got it right.
Because I wrote it down.
You wrote it down this time, but I'm telling you, we're doing a lot better in the past.
No, so. I wasn't. I can't remember things.
But you did good. Thank you for that.
Well, you got numbers, and they're so close. And then I say 4th District, but I know David Mack is the 4th District. Then I say 5th. I don't know. Anyway, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Before we get started with anything here, how are the boys from Spain and Belgium doing?
Yeah, the Belgium boy is doing phenomenal. It sounds so weird. His Dimitri is his name, and he finally gets a tennis racket in his hand. He is a tennis player, but he's just finished up his wrestling season with the high school, and now he is volunteering and doing some teaching at one of the local tennis clubs. So he's doing fantastic. The Spaniard, I will tell you, he is back in Spain. So,
oh, he went back home?
Yeah, that was last year. He did go back home. There are lots of things, moving parts with his family, so he wanted to get closer. But he stayed here for 6 months, so we got to enjoy and absorb his culture while here.
Well, he's a nice guy. He was in here. Seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah. He had a extra flavor, I think, for life. There was something a little beyond exotic about him, but he kind of, it was intriguing. You saw him, you know. Yeah. He came here. He's got tattoos on his neck. And when he came, he had some piercings on his lips. And although he lost those piercings while here eating or wrestling or something like that. But
eating? So, it means he swallowed them.
No. He had to take it out of his lip while he ate. But he was just visually, there was a visual interest, you know, when looking at him. And you could tell he was just a little more exotic and we got to enjoy him for 6 months, and now he's back. But we have until June with Dimitri.
So the real truth is, he got sick of you and he wanted to go back home.
Or could it have been vice versa? I'm just kidding.
No. Are you going to get more exchange students? Or
maybe. The program has already asked me, sent me a message about a week ago and asked if I would consider it. It's hard to find host families. So those who are listening, if you're thinking about it, please reach out. I'm happy to talk about how the experience is.
Now, if I had a student in my house, could I have him mow the lawn every week? Can I have him rake the lawn? Can I have him clear the snow?
I see this theme, but yes, Don, you actually can. And usually, I'm telling you, they are so willing.
I want to hire a handyman, in other words.
That's one way to do it.
Do the shopping, bring in the groceries. But you want to learn the American way, and that's the way to do it. Mow the lawn, shovel the snow, and all that kind of stuff.
There is a lot of graciousness I think they give, because you are opening up their home. You're not getting paid for it. So usually when, you know, people with kind hearts and are coming to be in a space to experience something, they want to be able to give back. So Dimitri is quite helpful, and we haven't had enough snow to get him out there and shovel snow. So I'm want the snow to come.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry, but I really do. I want him to be able to experience what I remember as a Wisconsin
winter. Put him in a meat locker at a butcher shop.
He'll get
the same experience.
Don, we don't have the snow that's 6 feet high where we could jump off.
All right, now I'm going to show you something, because you said something like that. Okay. And the other day, I get these memory things on my phone. Now, this is going to didn't play well on radio, but this is when we had the... let me blow it up for you so you can see a little bit here. This is leading to my back gate.
Oh, goodness. So he is showing just feet. Okay. Help me out this morning. Yeah. So there is feet of snow, and I can see two mailboxes had to shovel around. And the mailboxes
I didn't shovel it. My wife shoveled it. I was here at work. Well, I didn't tell her to do
it. She is amazing.
No, I was amazing. It took me 3 hours to get to work that morning, and it normally takes me 10 minutes. I was amazing.
The point of amazingness. Yeah, but wow, that is a lot of snow. That door would not even be able to open. I remember those. See, that's where my memory's at. I want to be able to have Dimitri experience that.
Yeah, you don't want to experience that. That's like saying, I'm going to Florida. I want to experience a hurricane.
But there's something about the memory of snow in your childhood. I know as an adult, it's a responsibility, and
I'm going to Hawaii.
Figure out how to navigate it.
I want to experience a lava flow coming right through my room.
You know, people do go to Hawaii in places to visit the volcanoes.
I was on a volcano. They ask you to put your hand, if you want to, to wave your hand in front of this thing, and that's the hot air coming up from the volcano. Wow. It is hot. You got to do it fast. And if you go a little slow, you'll burn your hand. That stuff is hot. I mean, it's coming up from, you know, liquid rock. How hot? It's got to be hot.
Quite the adventure. Not to say I have a risk of seeking a bone in my body, but there is something that to experience certain part of nature that you're not accustomed to, there is a draw and a curiosity to that.
Okay, we're going to hold up the Jonathan Delagrave till after the break, but you're going to a ribbon cutting ceremony this morning.
I am.
Why don't you talk about it? Tell us now. You go to your ribbon cutting ceremony at what, 10:30 this morning?
At 10:30, yeah. It's at the Youth Development Care Center, which is now named after Jonathan. So it's the Jonathan Delagrave Youth Development Care Center. So there'll be a ribbon cutting ceremony. The doors are not quite open for the youth to come in yet, but it will be soon.
And for people that don't remember or don't know, Jonathan Delagrave was our county board. He was the head of the county board.
County executive.
And suddenly died. I'm from out of nowhere. Nobody saw this coming.
Sad.
And just a few days beforehand, I saw him at Pritchard Park. Right there on, is it Pritchard and Park on Ohio Street?
It is. Yeah. It's the county park.
Yeah. I saw him there. I was talking to him and I said, I got to get you on the radio. He goes, well, let's do it. I said, well, I called your folks, and you know, it's not. He said, no, you call me, we'll make it work. And 3 days later,
He definitely would have. And he was very busy. He really was committed to a lot of things that were happening in Racine County. So it's one of those things, you know, sometimes you think back on certain elected officials, it stirs up a certain emotion. But that one, when you think of Jonathan Delagrave, he was very dedicated and put a lot of his heart. So you feel his heart. And so rightfully, this Youth Center is being named after him. I can think of many things that have coming in the pipelines for Racine County that his name would be very well suited to be on there because he was so dedicated. We have a mental health center that's being built. And that was one thing I remember through his platforms early on, that he really was dedicated to bringing services to those experiencing mental health issues.
Melissa Caprillion is here. She is the alder in the city of Racine for the 5th District and also the county board supervisor for the 4th District. More with Melissa coming up in just a moment. It's 720 WRJN Local News Timeless Hits. And with me is our alder for the 5th District in the city of Racine. And did you ever get mixed up here? The county board supervisor for the 4th District, Melissa Caprillion. You ever get mixed up with all this stuff?
I don't get mixed up because I have to know it, but I don't put it on anybody else.
Do you ever get to the county board and you bring up something for the city of Racine and they say, Melissa, wake up, you're in the wrong building?
That does not happen, but I will tell you, my knowledge that I bring from each board or council has benefited my constituents greatly. So I just have a bigger expanse of knowledge of what's going on.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you're in a race and you pass the person in second place, what place are you in?
I'm in second place, but Don, you will never see me in a race. I'm going to tell you that.
You'd be surprised how many people say first place.
Yeah, but my mind is the thing that races, not my legs.
Okay, I just asked the question. I just wanted to.
I pass.
Now I know you're intelligent. I don't have a problem with the rest of the interview. Okay, so you had a board meeting. You had a board meeting or a city meeting last night?
It was a city council meeting.
City council meeting. What was brought up? Anything big?
Yeah.
What should we know?
Oh, goodness. Well, Don, lots of things. So please tune in every other Tuesday. Tune in to the council meetings. There's a lot of moving parts happening right now. You still have the council. If you recall, we had a time where we had a boycott. And I know we hate using that term. And, maybe we should call it something else. But we missed one meeting. And the one meeting was really to stand for, let's bring a balance back in into the council by letting the council members, who are the legislators, have control of the agenda and certain processes. And so that was successful in the ordinance passing, but we still have some snags. We realized yesterday all of our communications that we bring that are relevant to our constituents, the council members bring forward, they're supposed to be put on the agenda to be read. So there's a transparency process. We realized yesterday that that wasn't happening for some of them. So we have to go back and make some more ordinance changes. So a little fun with kind of the behind the scenes, and it's kind of the constituents, it's great if they follow these things, but the legislators, you know, it's up to us to really do that work and to have confidence, to bring confidence in our local governments. But there was 4 grants that the city was applying for the Lincoln King Center, which totaled a little over $1 million out of a $15 million they're trying to fill a gap of $15 million to try to bring that project
forward.
Who
do you apply to?
They had applied to 4 different, one was the Racine Community Foundation was one of them. I think one was Home Depot.
Home Depot?
Yeah, it just...
Do they give out money for that stuff?
Well, they're going to find out. They're going to apply for it. And there was a couple other that were right along the same lines, maybe like a Walmart or something like can't remember.
They give out money for grants for this stuff? I never knew that.
Well, I think they're going after it. They're hoping. So here as city residents, let's hope they do. So if the Lincoln King project moves forward, we do need a lot of grant funding and a lot of people to give during this time. It's a $68 million project.
Whoa.
It is. And I'll be honest, Don, I did not vote for it for many reasons. The idea of bringing a new community center with all these beautiful elements of having a community health center in it is a wonderful. I think that's fantastic. I can see the benefit for our community. We're just not in a financial position to be able to afford $68 million. All of our city resources get funneled into that one project while the rest of projects and needs have to be neglected during that time. And we felt it during...
What do we need? What do we need that we don't have?
We need more service workers to work for our core. We need employees. If you noticed the last snowfall, I don't know if you felt the pulse of the community's outroar because their streets didn't get shoveled.
You mean Victory Avenue right in front of the building?
Oh, there you go, Don. So there, everybody has a story about the last snowfall. We had 17 employees that were out at the time, 15 on workman's comp, and people would just call in, and they're all new employees. We have complete turnaround in our departments. A lot of our people with a longevity have left. And so we need to bring employees in. We need to be a place where people want to work. And so we can provide our core services. People's taxes, they feel it, are going up. The service fees are going up. And they're not feeling that their basic core services that they believe their tax pay, their money pays for. So our focus needs to build that, because that's what I get calls for. I get calls if my garbage isn't picked up, if my streets aren't shoveled, if they have potholes and speeding and racing. Those are the main calls that I receive. So
well,
we
go live on my street. You'll hear the engines all night long.
Main Street is definitely...
It's the Great Lakes Dragway, except it's on Main Street.
As a child who did not drive at the time, I lived on Main Street. And I loved watching all the commotion that happens on
Main
Street. Yeah,
but you're not a person who's got to get up at 4:30 in the morning and hears this stuff going on at midnight.
That's why I prefaced, as a child who doesn't have to drive. But that was the time when, if you recall, people could sleep overnight on the parade route on Main Street. And I used to love watching out my window at night, all the partying going on before the 4th of July parade. The whole city was out on the street. They were drunk and whatever. But as a kid, it was...
It was a great time. People were sleeping in the gutter, and they were drunk. Oh, what a wonderful time!
You
we
don't
were
see it every day, so it was.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true.
Hold on, we're talking to Melissa Caprillion. She's our alder for the 5th district in the city of Racine, and the county board supervisor for District 4.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
And a pleasant good morning at 7:37 at WRJN. And I've got Melissa Caprillion here. She is the alder for the 5th District in the city of Racine. She is the county board supervisor for District Number 4. Before the break, we were talking about something. I forgot what it was because we were talking about so many stories during the break there.
Food trucks.
Oh, the food trucks. Okay. Now, I see them everywhere now. You didn't used to see them, but now you see them everywhere. Even AmFam Field, American Family Field in Milwaukee, announced 2 days ago they're taking out a whole section and they're going to build a food truck section, which to me kind of makes sense, but it doesn't because then you won't be buying the food from the stadium, but they probably get their fingers in the till of these food trucks. So my guess is they'll be making money. Food trucks are everywhere. I see them at the Menards parking lot. I see them when I turn on from Highway 20. They're at a little tire store there going into 31. They're everywhere.
But how convenient, Don.
I know. And they're good food. I've been to food trucks before. You tell me what the city plans. What are their plans for food trucks?
Yeah, so no, there was a communication that got brought forward. This isn't something new, but what was new about it is the communication came to the Public Safety and Licensing Committee, and the police chief was really supporting having the food trucks have a end time. Because there was a high number of calls of service and activity that required the force to, it was exhausting the force during the late, late hours or the early, early morning hours. And so it was a problem. So it was trying to find a solution. In Milwaukee, they had, I don't think they no longer do, or they're looking to get away rid of it, is where food trucks can only operate within certain hours of business. And if they want to operate beyond that hours of business, so whether it's up to 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., they have to get a certain permit, pay a certain permit to be up, to be able to operate. I'm just saying a time frame from 11 to, you know, 2 in the morning or something.
You really want to be in a food truck at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, some.
Sounds dangerous.
We do have a couple food trucks who, they do operate around that time.
It sounds pretty dangerous.
Well, for them, if you think about it, what other options do you have?
Well, first of all, it's an all-cash business.
True.
So I think it's dangerous to be out there.
Yeah. Right. Cash. They do have electronic means as well, but you're right. Meaning there's cash on hand. And so from a public safety lens, they were looking to solve a problem and they brought it before the Public Safety and Licensing Committee. And there's even a couple other things that we probably should think about when considering regulating or putting some type of structures in place. Because like you said, there's food trucks are increasing. We are seeing a lot of them. To me, I love it. We're investing in, we're seeing these entrepreneurs, small businesses, and I think it offers a diverse flavor for those who live in Racine and those visiting Racine. So I'm a big supporter of them.
I sense a however coming up.
Yeah, no. Okay. The only thing that I have received calls on is they'll park in front of another food establishment or very close by. And so for the other food establishment, one of the complaints that they're using our parking lot, and also now they're taking away business when we provide food as well. So there really should be some regulation. You have to park so many feet away from an already established food supplier. So that one I am all support of. You know, it's now I just have to balance a little bit because a lot of people forget. And I do see public comments. If I am ever scrolling through social media, you have certain individuals, whether they work for the city and they're in certain positions, they have that lens of their position. But as a elected official, as an alder, you really have to have a wide, wide, wide lens because we're employers. The city is one of very big employers here in Racine. And not only are we that, but we have to be stewards and protectors of the taxpayer. And there's just many components of it. So here's an issue where public safety is a concern. The police department has come and said, listen, we are exhausting our services. around some of these food trucks. And also it's a sanitary thing. There's lots of garbage that's being left behind from maybe not so much the food trucks. Maybe it is the food trucks or the patrons. So it's causing a concern.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah. So now we have to look at it from that angle. And then we have to look at it from the angles like, wait, I get out of work. I work third shift or I work second shift late. And I don't want to go to Taco Bell. So I want another option. And so you have to look at it from there by the food diversity being offered and trying to find this really good balance. So this conversation about the food trucks came before public safety and licensing back in 2024, and we're still hashing it out, which I love. I requested some time, a deferment, to allow the food trucks to have a voice in this conversation, and I think we're gathering that now. I heard some food trucks met with the police department yesterday, and so it'll come back before public safety and licensing, possibly this coming Wednesday. So tune in if those who are interested or want to contribute a voice come to the public safety and licensing committee.
I thought the restaurants own the food trucks. Like I see the Pico's food truck around.
Yeah, there is some that offer a food truck that have that mobile piece, but there are some that a food truck, the mobile food truck is their business.
Is anybody watching how clean these trucks are on the inside?
That is an oversight by the public health department. So they do have to be licensed. They pay fees. So
do they get inspected?
Yeah, they have to get inspected. And I think their fees are within $1,000 or so.
Whoa.
You know, certain. Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned sarcastically, I think, about the food in New York. Anybody who lives there knows they have Sabret hot dog. I don't know if they sell Sabret in the stores anymore, but Sabret hot dog stands. And you see the little Sabret umbrellas. And they're on street corners all over the place. And you can be on any street corner. And, you know, and if it's some, I'll tell you a story in just a second. After the break, you got to hear this story.
Okay.
Anyway, the hot dog, you can, I don't know how to describe this to people who aren't familiar with it. When you get the hot dog from the Sabret guy, he has boiling water in there. That's probably been sitting there for weeks. But anyway, he's got hot water in, I know. And they put the Sabret hot dogs and they boil them and everything. And you can get them in different sizes. Now, unless you know this, it does, you know, you don't know it. You can get them 8 to the pound, 12 to the pound, 15 to the pound. If the more you get to the pound, the skinnier the hot dog's going to be. So you can ask the guy, 8 to the pound? And he'll say, yeah. And then you know you're getting the fat hot dog. You say 12 to the pound? You know, you get the skinnier hot dog. So you got to know this stuff.
Don, the amount of information you know on
and
the
they sell chestnuts.
The
they sell,
them.
Yeah. And they put everything on it you want. They're very fast. And it's good. I grew up on going to Sabret hot dog stands. You know, you're hungry, you grab a hot dog, and, you know, that's what you do. I got to tell you the story my father told me. I'll tell you right now before the break. My father, this is before cell phones and all that kind of stuff, has a two-way radio in his car. This is in New York. It has a two-way radio. It's a business band radio. It's not CB, but it's a business band. And a few businesses are on his band. And one of them was a guy who handled the Sabret hot dog stands. And it sounded like the guy was a little mobbish when he was talking. And you hear him, he's wheezing at everything. And he gets a call and somebody's on his corner. And there's a hot dog stand there on the corner. And I told him to move. He's not going to move. Here's what you do. You grab his stand. You put it on the truck. And you take him to the Bronx. And you drop him off there. He said, but I don't want to. You just do that. And my father's listening to this whole thing like a mob over a hot dog vendor thing. But the guy was wheezing the whole time. You just take them and you drag them and you drop them off in the Bronx. And then you got your corner.
We get theater with you, Don. The imagery that has come to my mind, I feel.
My father heard this whole conversation going on while he's driving. And because there are certain corners that are moneymakers where you just nonstop selling hot dogs. It just doesn't stop. And now they're not that expensive back then, but they are now. And they just keep the money flowing. But I don't know if it's that kind of way it is today, but there's no rhyme or you can pick any corner you want. But if you pick a corner where somebody's got connections, you got to move, or if you don't move,
you bring up some
selling hot dogs in the East River.
You know. Oh my goodness. You know, just to tell the listeners, this was really starting on hygiene, but look how far it moved away from that.
Yeah, I never questioned it, but I got to question that boiling water, that hot water that was in there, how long it was. Plus, they keep shoveling hundreds of hot dogs in there. Oh. Nobody's washing their hands.
Well, Don, they're hot dogs. You know, me being a vegan, we nobody, can talk about nobody, what goes into a hot dog.
They're handling filthy money, touching your bun.
The water is probably the least to be worried about.
Melissa Caprillion is here. We got more stories. We're going to hear what's going on in the county board. We'll find out. She's an alder for the 5th District in Racine. She's also doing double duty as a in the county board as District 4. W-R-J-N. Okay, we're talking to Melissa Caprillion here. She's on the county board and also an alder for the city of Racine. You don't want numbers. We'll just say it. I don't know who my county board supervisor is. How do I not know this? I got to look it up.
You go to the polls.
I know.
Right? All the county board supervisors are up at the same time. So yeah, but
some of them run unopposed, so it doesn't matter.
The majority run unopposed.
Yeah, who wants that job? Do you really want that? I don't want that job. And by the way,
as
long as I got you in here, yeah, I know you're not my, I know you're not my alder. But last time I was telling you about the manhole covers.
Yes.
And we hit one the other day. I thought I broke an axle with the car, and you gave me this story. That's because they need the water to run down. They don't need the water to run down 3 or 4 inches.
Well, we have a lot of rainfall.
I know, but if you kept it level with the street and the street was just pitched, it would go in there.
That was my processing of reasoning why I believe they're like that. There might be some other reason behind it. We got to ask the engineers.
Every
I'll have to do
time
that before
I
come in.
Every time I hit a manhole cover, it's Melissa.
Well, Don, go around the darn thing or position it in between your wheels.
I got to go over the double yellow line to get around it. So I can't. Well, I hit a parked car on the side. I can't. I got to go. Yeah. I hit it. But I go, Melissa.
Time to slow down, Don.
Okay, so what's going on in the county board?
So the county board, today is a big day for the county with this ribbon cutting ceremony at the Jonathan Delagrave Youth Development Care Center, which, Don, if you haven't gone, you really should go. There will be a day where...
Where is it?
It's on 3 Mile Road, okay. Right on the side of the John Badden Airport.
Oh, yeah. I know
so
where that is.
For those that are listening, that is going to be west of Douglas Avenue. And it's 70,000 square feet care center. And it's... It's in 30 acres, which is something you don't think of when you think of our past youth center. So the other youth center, it just seems so inhumane. But, you know, you're working with the mines. You know, I don't know when that was built, the one that we currently are using. But it is really the workers that bring the warmth into the current space. And because it's, you go in there, it's like, this is no place for anyone, not even our youth. It's very cold, very cement, the metal bars, the walls, the heavy cemented walls, no windows. But now it is very spacious. Every room has a window in it, and it's really showing them this natural setting. It's a place of healing, not a place of surviving. And I'm going to tell you, there's something, Don, that maybe you don't know about me, but...
Here it comes.
Here it comes. No, let's just pull a little bit into my past. And, you know, I was a... somebody who had to learn and survive on the streets. And having a bout of homelessness while I was a minor. And I understand the impact of healing spaces and the sense of community. When you are in a survival mode, you don't necessarily feel that. You're surviving because you feel alone and maybe the environment isn't that healing. But I will tell you, when you go through this new center, this youth center, there is something so calling of saying, this is a transitional space. This is a space that we invest in for you move on and to be able to grow. It's still, you know, that you're in a center. There's a lot of secure doors, but there was a lot of mindfulness. I wish I knew the people's names that were part of it. I could name a couple, but I'd feel like I'd be doing some injustice by not naming them all. I just went on a tour of it 2 weeks ago, and we have a local artist, Scott Terry, who did a beautiful mural, which I won't even talk about because I think with the ribbon cutting ceremony, there'll be some unveiling. So I don't want to give anybody some early sights, but it's beautiful. It really helps welcome the space as it is an entering thing. But I will tell you that when you walk into there, you know that the community has invested into those youth to push them into their potential of doing something for the community. Unlike what we have now, you're behind cold bars, right? And the only warmth you feel is from the employees.
I'm glad you're naming it after Jonathan Delagrave. That's nice.
Isn't that fitting? Yeah. Oh, that is fitting because he's truly was somebody invested in the community, invested into the youth, invested into mental health. And it is very fitting. It truly is fitting. It's sad that he can't be part of this today, but
Maybe he is.
For sure. All the people who are coming, we all are carrying a bits of him and how we remember him. So.
Well, I'm very fortunate. I grew up in the Leave It to Beaver household. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect household. I had everything I needed. I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes with money, but when you're a kid, you don't care.
True. Yeah,
I want this. Give me money. I want this. Give me money. My mother made sure everything was okay. She signed my brother and I up for the Police Boys Club, which was a thing to keep you out of trouble. I was never in trouble, but this made sure I wasn't going to be in any trouble. The Police Boys Club met every week. And we did different things, and we bowled, we did a whole bunch of things. It was really a great thing. I don't know if they have the PBC anymore, but we all had shirts with Police Boys Club on it.
Aww.
And I was never in any trouble. I mean,
yeah, you don't come across as a troublemaker.
No, I'm not a trauma sweetheart. I mean, people love me. Neither one of them never smoked a cigarette, never did any recreational drugs. Never drank beer, never did. Those kids were doing it while I was hanging around them. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I think you're smarter than that. And you had a good, solid foundation. Your parents did really good. And you had a lot of other experiences, so.
Yeah, it was very good. I got something for you before you leave here.
Okay.
It's not bad.
I hope not.
Okay, no, it's not. I wouldn't do anything bad. Okay. I don't know how brutally honest you are with your friends.
I'm an honest person.
Okay, let's just see how honest you are.
Okay, let's see.
Someone polled over 1,000 Americans to see how honest we are about stuff a friend might not want to hear. Now, would you tell your friends the following? They're in a toxic relationship.
Absolutely.
You would. They're mean.
If we're good enough friends, they will know they're mean.
No. You have to tell them they're mean.
I think they, yes.
So you would. Okay. They drink too much.
Maybe not.
They have BO.
No.
So you're not that brutally honest.
I guess not.
They tell offensive jokes.
Yeah, probably.
They're frequently interrupting people.
It depends the level of friendship. Yes.
Their partner is cheating on them.
Ooh, yes.
it
depends the level of friendship. Yeah, for sure.
So you would tell them?
Probably, because I would want somebody to tell me.
Okay. They have bad breath.
Again, the level of friendship. A close friend, absolutely.
This is a yes or no quiz. This isn't the explanation. This is yes or no.
You realize I have a gamut of a spectrum of friendship.
Well, how many stinky friends do you have?
Well, your close significant other, they will know that their breath stinks.
All right,
because you will tell
people
them.
People don't know them. All right. They keep telling the same stories over and over. That's me, by the way. And my wife has no problem telling me that.
Off and on, I will.
Okay. They got a bad haircut.
No.
They talk too much.
It depends.
I'm not hearing a lot.
Have I ever told you?
I'm not hearing a lot. Well, people better hope I talk too much here. We're out of business.
Fair.
They need to lose weight.
Ooh, no.
So you're not brutally honest.
But
you started this whole thing off saying, yes, you're brutally honest.
But whose definition do you have to lose weight?
I just read
whose definition do you have a bad haircut, right?
Well, so, you know a bad haircut when you see,
It could be a style. It could be a style.
Come on. You're a nicer person. You're not that brutally honest. You care about people's feelings.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings.
But I also think certain things just don't really matter. Does it matter that your hair is looking
I just asked, would you tell anybody this? And you're a nice person and you wouldn't do it.
You know what? I would gossip during break with you.
Did you see that stinky mouth, B.O., bad haircut person?
Does that count for anything?
And by the way, he doesn't shut up.
That's fair. Yeah.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I like having you. You're a fun person. You talk. You're a good talker, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Melissa Caprillion, she's the alder for the 5th District and County Board Supervisor for the 4th District. She is also the something at the 3rd District and 2nd, 1st. She's a very busy person. Thank you, Melissa, for coming in. I do appreciate
it.
8 o'clock on the noggin. Let's do news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Seek and Ocean.